it's giving in to the grain of truth in the criticism the other person is making against you, because there's probably a grain of truth in it. Mm-hmm. And so if we can just give in to that a little bit, it disarms the other human being. It disarms your spouse. It disarms the argument, because it's like, oh, you actually are understanding what I'm feeling right now.
You're listening to the In This Together podcast with Dr. Josh and Christy Straub, a podcast dedicated to helping you live, love, and lead well as a spouse, a parent, and a human being.
Because no matter where you're at on your journey, you're not alone. We're in this together. Welcome back to the In This Together podcast. Today we are talking part two about an emotionally safe marriage. And last week we talked about, it was part one of an emotionally safe marriage. And it was...
That's sort of how it goes. Part one followed by part two.
Your willingness to engage this process, to be emotionally safe. And we talked about three ways. So if you didn't listen to part one, we would encourage you to listen to part one before we get into part two, because we talk about...
The practical of what emotional safety is and looks like is one thing, but most often we find it's the willingness to do it that's the key.
And there are ways that you can tell whether or not you're actually willing, because you can say in your head, like knowledgeable, like, oh yeah, I'm willing to do it.
I want to be more connected to my spouse. I want to have a marriage that feels fulfilling and intimate. And then you hit all the...
Well, but when you look at the communication and how we're actually talking...
Yeah.
You actually see that, no, you're actually not willing because you're blaming the other person.
And there's wounds, there's hurt. That's just part of it. But it's the willingness to press into all of that.
Remember intimacy? The willingness to endure the negative feelings you get when you get close to another human being.
The most positive message possible. David Burns.
Love that man. So today we're talking about the skills, and the reality is you can apply these skills, but if you're not willing to do them,
you can know these skills. That's the thing. You can.
Well, the other piece of this too is, and we talked about this last week a little bit, is the proactive versus the reactive. So you can be proactive, because everybody looks normal when things are going well. It's not until we hit stress or duress that you see a person's true relationship style come out. So you can know these and you can practice them. And this is why we're going to talk about it in the proactive. And we're going to also talk about it in the reactive, because it's when you're reacting. It's when, Christy, you accuse me of something and I know that you're wrong and you're blaming me, and mm-hmm. I get defensive, mm-hmm. and the fight or flight kicks in. That's when let's apply a skill. Now let's apply skills.
Ugh.
Right? So, let me be loving and empathetic when you're blaming me for something that I don't think I did.
That's never happened before.
Never.
And I just think it's like anything, like the counter to that. It's responding versus reacting, right? Reacting is our gut reaction, the knee jerk, the fight, flight, freeze, the thing we want to do. We want to blow up. We want to defend ourselves. Responding is the learned response, reaction, the learned, what's the word I'm looking for?
The conditioned emotional response.
That's way more words than I wanted to use. The learned behavior.
Well, it's conditioned. It's how you respond.
It is. But it takes time and it takes genuine intention. So let's talk about it.
Yeah. So the first one, in the way that I described this, and again, you can pick up a couple different books on this. One of them that I would recommend is called, it's not a Christian book. It's just a really, really helpful marriage book called Feeling Good Together by Dr. David Burns.
You've mentioned that a lot lately.
And then John Gottman's another one as well. So some of these principles, some of them are ones that we created based upon their stuff, or it came out of reading them. I mean, there's nothing new under the sun, right? So you're like trying to like, we have just found certain things to help with people, and these are some of the people that I have read and studied and learned and research based stuff that works. We have applied some of this into our own marriage. One of the things that we would encourage you to do is, it's called 15 minutes a day, and you may have heard us talk about this. We talk about it quite a bit. It doesn't have to be 15. It can be 5. You could start with 5. But basically what it is it's taking the What Am I Feeling children's book that we have for kids and applying it to your marriage. So in other words...
Basically, yes, that is true.
Because what we're trying to do is we're saying, listen, when we become one flesh, so the proverb says to guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. But when you become one flesh, you have one heart. You have a marital heart, and you want to guard that marital heart. So for me, that means getting within Christy's heart. It's discovering what's going on within her heart right now that is the underlying motivation behind the accusation, the underlying motivation behind why she's accusing me of what she is. But that requires me to be empathetic. So skill number one is empathy. And so you can, if you're taking notes, it's empathy. And it really begins with, okay, so this is where emotional intelligence comes into play. So it's my ability to be able to, and I'll get back to the 15 minutes here in a second because I realize I digressed, but empathy is, it's 15
but
minutes.
But I digress.
15 minutes is really, it is empathy. But it is the ability to be able to enter into, there's thought empathy and there's feeling empathy. Thought empathy is to know what you're feeling. Feeling empathy is to know why you're feeling that way. Mm. So I want to know why Christy's feeling the way she is. And when you can repeat back in a way, not in a sarcastic way, you know,
this is where people like go into counseling and they'll learn a few of these like so-called, you know, air quotes techniques. And then they get real sarcastic and snarky because it's like, what I hear you saying is...
Yeah, you have to be genuine. It has to be genuine. Like, so what I hear you saying is that you're frustrated at me because I want to go fishing with my buddies. And you think that I'm constantly fishing with my buddies all the time. And you just really want to spend time with me. Mm. And you're sad that we're not spending time together. Is that? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Whoa. Of course that's what I'm saying.
I would never respond like that.
Never.
Never.
Yeah, see? Did you like that? I woke everybody up. It's like, but that's what we do. We get into these like battles and we're like fighting and we're like arguing and we're like, no, but you gotta listen to me. But when, and this is where Fox News and CNBC and all these other CNN, and this is why I don't watch news, because they're not listening to one another. They're just thinking about what they're going to say next. And nobody is truly giving in to the grain of truth and the criticism that the other person, it's giving in to the grain of truth and the criticism the other person is making against you, because there's probably a grain of truth in it. Mm-hmm. And so if we can just give in to that a little bit, It disarms the other human being. It disarms your spouse. It disarms the argument, because it's like, oh, you actually are understanding what I'm feeling right now. And the reality is a lot of times we don't even know why we're feeling what we are. We don't even understand what we're feeling in our accusation. We just know we're angry. We just know we're super ticked off.
Yeah.
And we don't realize that I'm super ticked off because I felt rejected by you, or that I feel sad that we just haven't been connecting. Because if I go there, oh, now I'm getting vulnerable. And what are you going to do with that? Can I trust you with that sadness? Can I really trust my husband or my wife with my fear, with my rejection, with my sadness? That's where the anger comes in, because anger makes it so much easier to deal with. Mm-hmm. And so when we as a spouse can start to, I love this, because there's an exercise that you can do. And I've seen it in experiential therapy where it's a two chair approach. So the chair in the front, so if you take two chairs and you sit them up, and the first chair is the anger, because there's an emotion behind the anger. So what you're doing is you're talking to the angry spouse, but what happens when you move the first chair and you have your spouse move to the back chair and say, what's really going on here? What's this really about? How can I, like, what are you really feeling? Like, what is that? And so that's empathy. That's the ability to really start to see what is happening in those reactive moments. And when we can give into it and we give into the grain of truth and say, you know what? I can see why you're sad. I can see why you're angry. I can see why you're hurting. I can see you're right. I haven't been fully present. I could be doing a better job with this. Notice I'm saying I statements. I'm not saying you statements. I'm not blaming. I'm saying I statements, and I'm giving it. What it does is it has a disarming effect, and it calms the other person down. And so I know we're talking about empathy there, but that 15 minutes, when you do that proactively, so the reason I'm bouncing back and forth here is between the proactive and the reactive, because you can see how in the reactive moments, this gets so difficult to do and apply.
Yeah.
But when we can do it proactively, so for instance, if Christy and I put the kids down in bed at night, and rather than jumping to Netflix, or rather than doing something that's going to be just mindless activity, let's say we're cleaning up the kitchen together, we're loading the dishwasher, we're cleaning up dinner, we're cleaning up the house a little bit after the kids are in bed. When we can do those types of things together and have conversations, you don't even have to sit down at the table and look at each other in the eye and do this, but like just do it when you're together. Use feeling words to describe your day. And if you're in a difficult season in your marriage, maybe you don't have to talk about feelings about the relationship. Use neutral situations. So in other words, I felt excited today to be able to come up with that idea at work because it was a great idea. People liked it. I felt like it was a great idea and other people validated that. So I felt validated. I was excited. I came home energized. Another situation could be I was deeply saddened today to learn of this person finding out they had cancer. I was anxious today at whatever you're anxious about. Use feeling words with one another about neutral situations, because what that does is it allows you to be able to start to see inside the heart of your spouse. It allows you to be able to see what's really going on beyond the business of the day, beyond taking kids to school or practices or whatever and work and all the details of the day, but really the emotions of the day, the deeper subjective understanding who my spouse really is, what's really passionately making that person tick.
Well, and what's so powerful is for us just putting language to our day, because so often if you were to ask someone how they're feeling, they don't really know. We just go through the day existing. Like we just are just reacting.
Which is why we want to go to Netflix and hit mindless activity, because we just feel like I just want to zone out, like, or Instagram.
And that's a really confusing, hard place to be and overwhelming, because we just can't process. I don't know what I'm feeling. Like I'm everything. And that feels exhausting. But to be able to put language to what we're feeling is so powerful, because it connects the right and left side of the brain. But also it starts to organize how we are, the things that keep us up at night. It starts to put them in boxes where it's like, I really was anxious today. I really felt rejected by this friend. I really feel, you know, but it's to actually say it out loud is so powerful, not just for our spouse, but for us as well.
Have you ever gotten stuck in your marriage and feel like you had nobody to talk to? Or you have questions about your kids that left you worried and not sure where to turn?
So have we. And that's why we now offer individual and couples coaching to help you find joy in your marriage and confidence as a parent.
Visit thestraubco.com to schedule a free 30-minute discovery call or to sign up for one of our group coaching programs. That's thestraubco.com.
We help leaders live, love, and lead well, beginning at home.
And so, you know, it's funny because a lot of times if you find what it is that you're turning to rather than your spouse to deal with your emotions. I think that's one exercise that is so powerful as it relates to having an emotionally safe marriage, because an emotionally unsafe marriage is when we start to turn other places to get our emotions dealt with. To, you know, it's like we're laying in bed at night, getting ready for bed, and we're laying in bed and we're both on different phones. And we're just mindlessly going through, and then we're like, okay, good night, and give each other a kiss. And you never really talked about anything of your day. You never really connected at a deep, intimate level. But you learned about what some person you never met on Instagram, what kind of chicken they had today for dinner, and stop, what temperature they cooked it at, because you're entering into their story. And it's like, you know,
Josh has a really big problem with Instagram stories. He thinks, especially, he's like, do you realize the stuff that people talk about? Like, and then I'm going to...
Well, it's true.
I get it. I get what you're saying. But we get enraptured in other people's stories and we stop living our own. So
there you go.
Yes.
Bingo. So emotionally safe marriage. So empathy is that big piece. The next one is assertiveness. And that's your ability to be able to talk about what you're feeling in the relationship and asserting your concern. However, you can't do that until you first listened to the other person. You've got to be able to listen to what the other person's accusation and concern is in the marriage in order to assert. And assertiveness isn't going, it's not going back to what we talked about last week and blaming the other person. It's just being able to say, I feel a certain feeling. I felt rejected when... And I'm doing this completely off the top of my head.
I love when you come up with analogies and you're like trying not to make them like too personal, but...
Yeah. Okay, so let's do this one.
What were you going to say?
Let's do this one. I felt rejected when... I felt rejected because I really would love to have raised garden beds this year, this spring.
Oh, you're in my voice now.
I'm in your voice.
Yes.
I would really love to be able to have...
But what?
Garden. And I felt rejected because as I talk about my dreams and I talk about how I want to do this and build it and have vegetables and watch them come to life and watch them grow.
And they are right now, by the way.
But, mm-hmm. I have felt rejected and I have felt... dismissed because there's too many other things that are taking precedent, and I just really would come alive if I could have raised garden beds.
I have no idea who has ever thought that or said that.
Yeah. So, but you see how
I love how carefully you didn't use the, but you are shutting down my dreams, or yeah, you're validating my dreams. You're not seeing me or hearing what I really want.
Right.
You didn't say that.
Right.
It took a lot, but
it
you didn't
just
say
be, I want to be seen. But you see how difficult that can be.
Totally.
I want to be seen. I want to be noticed. I want to dream. I want to come alive. And then it's just simply saying, can you help me? Can you help me? Is this something we could potentially do together? You know, and the reality is I haven't, I mean, I helped build them. I help keep them looking decent around the outside.
Yes, you do.
It's been a really, really
life-giving
thing
for
you.
And don't they
look so good? Yeah, it's been amazing. They look amazing.
The cucumbers are growing right now. The tomatoes aren't ready.
I don't get the satisfaction that you do, but it's amazing. I love it.
Oh, it's so great. Oh my
gosh. I love watching you come alive.
This is legit. I went out there today. Something ate all the lettuce. Gone.
No.
Yes.
Way.
I know. I'm ticked. I don't know if it was a bunny. We have a fence around it. I don't know if it was the
who put up that fence.
You did.
Okay. Good.
I don't know if someone jumped in, like the dog or a cat. Do cats eat lettuce? I don't know. It's bib lettuce. God, it was looking so good. Was
you didn't
it
blame one of our children?
I doubt they ran to the garden and not on lettuce.
Why would you not blame our children for eating lettuce? That's
I'm
weird.
I'm so disappointed.
Okay, so, but you get the picture. We're asserting
so
our
disappointed
feelings.
The bunny ate my lettuce.
Every time I hear the bunny, I think of VeggieTales.
Okay,
the bunny.
The bunny.
The bunny. Okay. Ooh, I ate the bunny.
You know they had to change that song?
Why?
They had to change the song for the VeggieTales CD because it was I don't like my mom or my dad, just the bunny. And so kids were starting to sing, I don't like my mom or my dad.
Why would they write that in there?
Because that's the song. That's how it goes. Because he's like obsessed with
the bunny. Yeah.
So, but for the CD, they had to
see what I do. It is I didn't eat my soup or my bread, just the bunny.
Okay. Anyway.
So anyway, we might get a record contract the way we sing.
Oh my gosh. That will never in a billion years be our path.
So assertiveness, but you cannot assert your own concern until you've listened. And by the way, empathy isn't just the fact that you feel like you have repeated back what the other person said. They have to feel empathized with. So you're checking in and saying, Did I hear this correctly? This is how you're feeling? Yeah, you got it. You definitely got it. It's like that validation of like, yeah, okay, now that you got it, now I can assert my own concern, feeling, that type of thing as well. And now we can start moving somewhere. And this is all done in the context of respect. So empathy, assertiveness, and respect. This is all done in the context of respect where we remain warm in the interaction. You remain relationally warm. You remain, you have emotion regulation. You regulate your emotions in the context of the conversation.
Do people recognize like the difference between warmth though? Because like what a warm, to approach someone in a warm way versus a cold way. I think we all recognize what that coldness feels like.
And again, this is why being emotionally safe in reactive situations sometimes it's very hard, but it also sometimes requires that we just stop in the moment and don't talk about it right now, because mm-hmm. our caveman part of our brain, our fight, flight, and freeze is so overwhelmed. This is why, again, everybody looks normal until you hit stress or duress. Mm-hmm. Then you see their true relationship style. You start to see the way the dance plays out.
Yeah.
And sometimes we have to calm that part of our brain in order to get to a place where we can actually make some progress in how we're communicating with one another and move forward at a deeper, more intimate level. So I just, I want to, this is why we talk about 15 minutes. This is why we make 15 minutes a day so incredibly important, because you start to really connect with one another at a heart level. And what it does ultimately is it allows those painful moments to be less and less over time, but it also, you can see the potholes coming and you can start to miss the potholes.
Ooh, that's a good call. That's a good way to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they don't last as long. The intense moments are.
The it's pothole like, isn't as deep.
Well, let me do this. So there was a family. There's a family I'm coaching, and the other night they wrote a note to me and they said, "Hey, you know, we're really stuck right now. We're not, you know, we're in a stuck spot." And I was like, okay, you're in a stuck spot. So what does that mean? What does that look like? And they were just not understanding where the other person emotionally was coming from. And I texted back and I said, what time is it there? Because it was, you know, not on our time zone. And it was 11 o'clock at night. And I texted back and I just said, we have a rule in our house that pretty much nothing productive gets done conversationally after 9 p.m. Like, it's just pretty much like, it's not going to happen. So one of the things that I just said,
9:30-ish is really the cutoff for me. But
yeah. I said, so just go to bed and go to bed holding hands. Just hold hands. If you're in a spot that you can do that and you're in a space that you can do that, hold hands and wake up tomorrow morning with a fresh perspective. And that's what they did. And it worked out super well. But my point is, sometimes we just have to put the conversation aside mm-hmm. in order for it to truly gain perspective, where we're not living in the fight or flight in the moment. Yeah. So I don't know if that's helpful, but that's kind of, so it's simple. Like this is, it's simple to talk about. It's simple to teach. It's very difficult to do in those overwhelming moments. But this is where emotion is so incredibly important, because what my passion, what I need to do, what I desire to do is Ephesians 5, is making my wife radiant before the Lord. But in order for me to do that, I have to be able to pursue her within, and I have to be able to understand what's going on within her to be able to do that, which is what requires that constant conversation of, what are you really feeling? What's happening within you today? How are you?
Which comes back to that David Burns definition of intimacy. I mean, it's the willingness to endure the negative feelings you get when you get close to another person. Because let's be totally honest, there's a lot of times we just don't care. We don't want to know what's going on within you. Like right now, I'm hurt by you. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. Like the last thing I want to do is dive into your stuff right now.
And sometimes sometimes I'm asking Christy, how are you? And I'm actually going like, how are you? Mm-hmm. And I have a pit in my stomach as I'm asking, because I can tell I don't really necessarily want to know the answer in that moment, or I'm afraid of the answer. And so there's some days I'm relieved where it's like, I'm good. And I'm like, oh, thank God. And then there's other days where it's like,
I get away.
Yeah, you can tell.
I have a free day.
But your ability to go there,
yeah,
and you want to go there is,
because
important.
Honestly, the fear of going there is usually worse than the actually going there.
Like, totally.
Because totally. And the more often, like, so the couples that go through like the coaching and that have been through this have just found like it takes a little while to get onto it. And then once they do, they're like, we just communicated a far different, like we're just different people. We have a different marriage than before, because they know how to do it now. So it doesn't feel like, it's like, is it like riding a bike? Let's go back to analogies that I don't get right all the time. But it's like, it just becomes, it's easier. Like Josh is saying, you see the potholes coming. They're not as big. You don't stay in them as long. It's like, oh shoot, we did that thing again. But I hear you. I hear what you're saying. And it's like they catch themselves quicker. The division is shorter and not as painful anymore, I think is fair to say.
Oh, I think so too.
Yeah. And it just starts you on a very different trajectory than avoiding it, because the avoiding is really getting you nowhere.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. It's just causing more. You're either growing closer together or further apart. And the avoiding is just causing such dissension in the marriage and in between you. And it's going to be more work in the long run. So the sooner I think this is learned, I think that's the thing. If people are like, I just wish I'd known this, like when we were first married. And I think that's true. It's probably true. But I think sometimes you have to go through stuff in order to recognize your need for health. Like you need to hit the hard parts to know, man, we got to make a change and to wake you up for it.
So your willingness to go within, the willingness to go within your spouse's heart and truly connect with your spouse is critically important. And again, this isn't a long episode, because having an emotionally safe marriage, it's not that complicated, but yet it is. I don't know if that makes sense. It's complicated because of all of the stuff that prevents us from being able to apply and go there.
That's a good call.
You know what I mean? Because and as Christy said earlier, there's years of hurt that is just piled up and piled up and piled up.
And that's where, I mean, how many times do we say this? Just to have it working with a third party person in your marriage to help you walk through the hard parts, because that's usually, you can do it without, but it takes a lot of great, like it's hard.
Yeah,
get help. And then the skills, like knowing this, will allow you to cruise.
And we would love, and we would love to be able to help you with that. We have coaching programs to be able to do that. And so listen to that. We'll put the show notes in there, and let us know how we can serve you, especially in your marriage. And because we genuinely believe, as one research study says that I talk about often, had labeled the top 10 parenting strategies to get the outcomes we're looking for in our kids. Number 3 is how you treat your spouse, or how you treat a co-parent in a divorce situation. How you treat your spouse is a great parenting strategy. So if we can help you get that right, we believe so goes the marriage, so goes the family. We'd love to be able to serve you in that. And until next week, press in and enjoy the moments.
We love you.
Check out InThisTogetherPodcast.com for previous episodes and to subscribe. If you have a question or a topic that you'd love us to cover, hit the submit button there on the page.
And we would also love if you would leave us a review. Your reviews mean so much to us and help others learn about the podcast. You can also find us on Instagram or Facebook. And for coaching and speaking inquiries, visit our website at drjoshandchristy.com.
Until next time, press in and live in the moment.